honor and privilege of hearing from Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews is a very deep book in the New Testament. It contains a lot of information, but we'll simplify it today so that we can come to a deeper faith. And that's what he's talking about here in the 11th chapter. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to understand these words of faith that call us from the expanse of space to this very place. Help us, O Lord, to know that this call we have to grow in understanding of you, to grow in dependence upon you, to grow in love for you, is what we are called to do. Lord, open up our hearts that we may indeed understand and grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to be in the ministry, to be able to look at the Word of God and to examine it from so many different ways. As you know, I'm considered the end of the baby boom generation. Some call me just a Gen Xer. I was born in the year 1962. There may be a few others born in 62. But my generation's called the Zoomers. We're the end of the Boomers. We're the beginning of the Generation X. And the Zoomers were the ones who, the first memories of our lives, by the way, we're the ones that invented the internet, our generation did, and all kinds of fun things like that. But the first real memory of our life is of us going to the moon. And as a young boy, I used to love, you know, the idea of space and all kinds of things with science. I had a chemistry set. I was into nerdy type things. Even though I played sports, I was a combination of the two. But I enjoyed learning and to think that we have walked on the moon. How many people have been on the moon? If that's a little trivia question, 12. Isn't that interesting? 12. There's 12 disciples. Isn't that amazing how that's unfolded like it is? But to think about the creation around us. Now, of course, I was studying all this and reading the encyclopedia, growing in understanding of different things. And yet, my father, he preached every Sunday in the churches that he served about faith and something that is not seen when I was looking for the seen. And science is about looking at the seen, what you see, and examining it and understanding what it's made of. Well, Hebrews is helping us to go beyond just what we see and what we know to what we can believe in and have a relationship with. See, faith is that relationship. It is relationship with the thing we do not see. He says that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That's important. Now, in my ministry, I've always been an odd sort. I'm not the typical type preacher that will give the Duke traditional 3 points and conclusion sermon. In fact, if you can keep up with where I'm going, then God bless you, because even I don't know where I'm going sometimes. And that's okay, because I know ultimately God has his hand upon his messenger. I trust God's grace. And believe me, he will chastise me in every way that he needs to if I do not fulfill what he's called me to do. Back when I was in my sermon class at seminary, I just flat out preached to those brothers and sisters in that class. And the professor said, "We can't even grade you, Jerome, because you got on us so hard, we're just feeling guilty." And I said, "Good." And he gave me an A, and I was so happy about it. But he said, "Can you at least write it down, you know, so I can evaluate it?" In other words, he's wanting to see it. And I'm saying, it's not always seeable. Sometimes you can't see it. Can you see, really, that extra love your mama put in those biscuits? What is that secret ingredient? It was just so good, you know. Can you see that father's devotion of getting up before the sun comes up and is gone and then coming back home again? Can we see all these things we think we can see? Faith is believing in something that we can't see. And that's what this is talking about. Hebrews is telling us, helping us to see that this is what the truth is. And it says this is what the ancients were commended for. Now, when I went to Drew, and that's where I got the Doctor of Ministry degree, they had a program called Ancient Future. So we looked at very old things, and we looked at things that were about to happen. In between those two bookends, that's where we are, in between the ancient and the future. And the truth is, the more we look back, and the more we look forward, the more we see the hand of God at work in our lives. We know that God has helped us to be at this point. Because each and every one here, there is a time in your life that if God had not been there for you, you would not be sitting here today. He has helped you to get to this point. He has guided you. In fact, he didn't just guide you, he guided others around you. And not just others around you, he guided the weather above you. He guided the earth beneath you. He guided the planets that surround you. He's guided the universe. In fact, everything is connected together. And so be our first slide there, Mr. Brad. Now, I've come up with my own ideas. And these go beyond what they teach in the seminaries. In fact, they probably would call me a little bit different, but that's okay. I'm hoping they'll finally get around to my way of thinking. Maybe they'll understand this theology isn't flat. This isn't a flat theology. This is a theology that has height and depth and width and breadth. This is a theology that believes that all things are possible under the sun. This is a theology that no matter what they discover in the heavens, it won't fracture my belief in Jesus the Christ. They can discover aliens drinking lemonade, and it won't even bother me in what I believe. Because everything is in motion. Motion. God put it in motion. It's there in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything was without form, and he set it into motion. He did so by his mouth. He spoke it into being. Let there be light. So with the motion he's created emotion. Emotion is God's gift to us to be able to relate to the creation he has made. He has made it so we can marvel at a sunrise or a sunset. He has created it so we can have tears over a child or one we love. He has created and imputed all of creation with emotion, with his ability to know and understand and feel what he has created. And then he's created it all for an eternal purpose. Even though there was a clear beginning to the universe, there's big debates about when and where and all that. And Lord, I've had discussions. Even had one member got mad at me. He got all upset at me. Said, "Preacher, you don't believe it's like this short period of time in creation?" And I said, "No." I said, "Why?" I said, "My God's bigger than this. Don't try to put my God on a time schedule. He doesn't wear a watch. My God's created the heavens and the earth. Don't get caught up in what you think is true. There's so much you can't even see that his hand is involved in." I said, "Understand, he is eternal. He is eternal, and everything he's created has an eternal purpose. See, you have an eternal purpose. You weren't meant just to live this one life you're given. If you are, then you better make the best out of it." You better go and do all you can do. You better live and feel free, and you better just fly, because that's it. And believe me, it don't all happen. It's only that short period of time. Children, oh, y'all got that window, but I'm past that window. I'm looking back now. Used to, I'd zoom around on my motorcycle, and I'd do this and do that and think I was just invincible. I'd run down the field wide open wanting to hit somebody playing football, thinking my body would not pay for it. Now, years later, when there's about to be a storm, I can tell. I start to ache in my bones, you know. It's bursitis is what the old-timers call it. That's why we got liniments and all kinds of smelly things we put on us, our older people, we do. Because of wounds and scars of the past. See, if this is life, then this there ain't much to it. I just hate to break the news, but there's really not much to it. I mean, we may get a victory at Carolina every so often, and things may be good every so often, but if this is it, then my Lord, no wonder the world is disappointed. No wonder the world is disappointed. See, the real question isn't about what we don't know and all these things that are out there. The real question is, why are people who have everything still disappointed? Why is it this nation, which has been so blessed by God to have so much, is falling away from God left and right? See, don't forget the people on 9/11 that took over those airplanes. They lived in the West. They rode ferries and taxis. They ate at fast food. They lived in our culture, yet they easily dismissed it. Because this isn't anything to believe in. What can we believe in? Well, we can believe in God. That's what this scripture is saying. So everything he set into motion, our life, and he's imputed it with emotion. And do not run away from this emotion. I'm not talking about Pentecostal type movements or this or that. It doesn't make any difference how high you can jump to show you got the Spirit. When I was on the Outer Banks, they have a lot of Pentecostal churches there. And they said, "Preacher, you just aren't Pentecostal." And I said, "But I got as deep emotion as they got. I love my God." See, understand that it's not based on our emotion. It's based on his emotion. See, God wept. What do you think the heavens turned dark for when Jesus was hung on the cross? What do you think the angels turned away? God wept because his son was dying on the cross. Do not dismiss this emotion of God. It is what saves us. It is by his tears we are saved. Jesus wept when his friend died. It wasn't out of anger. He wept because he had a sorrow in his heart. See, our God feels what we're going through. He knows what it's like when it gets tough, when things aren't going well, when we don't know what tomorrow holds. See, even though our God holds tomorrow, he feels what we feel. See, faith is believing in that. Faith is saying, my God understands me. My God speaks my language. He knows what it's like to be the guy who's always beat down and cast down and the one last pick and the one that's been picked on, the one that's not counted on, the one nobody trusted. See, my God believes in me. See, that's what faith is. It's saying, my God believes in me. Therefore, why can't I believe in myself? Why is it we can climb all the highest mountains on the earth? We can go to the planets. We can send things everywhere. We can understand, yet we can't even have the simple faith of a child. Why is it we're so brilliant and smart, yet we're so dumb and pitiful when it comes to this most basic thing, believe in God. Believe in God. See, faith is, we understand this universe was formed at God's command, it says in the third verse, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. In other words, our God didn't use something again. Our God does not recycle. Our God does not recycle. Nothing wrong with recycling. More power to recycling. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. We got to recycle. Nothing like, you know, recycling. But our God doesn't recycle. Our God just says, I just created new. So in other words, he ain't going to take the old us and say, I'm going to make you better. You know, if that were the case, well, I'd want to be better. I want to have more muscles. I want to have all kinds of hair. I just want to have a big chest. I want to be strong. I want to be able to do all kinds of things. See, my God doesn't say that. He doesn't take the old us. He creates the new us. And the faith is saying, what is this new us he wants us to be? What is it he's after? What is God's objective in my life? What is he trying to do? And he's starting from the inside. He's starting from your heart. He's starting from the inside and he's saying, first I'm going to remake your heart. I'm going to make you where you can feel me and understand me and you can see me, but you can't see me with your old eyes. You got to have new eyes. You can only see me with your new eyes. Your old eyes aren't worthy. They're failures. Your new eyes will never grow dim. Your new eyes will see the heaven and see the earth and be able to walk the streets and be able to live eternally. Right now you're not ready for what I'm about to throw on you, but what I'm going to throw on you is who you are. You are a child of the light, our God is saying. And he said this through Abraham. He said in the 8th verse, by faith, Abraham was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. He obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. Sisters and brothers, I've not seen heaven. I've not been privileged to have that moment when I see through the tunnel of light and see the land beyond. But I can tell you, even though I have not seen it, I believe it is there. And I believe that it is the inheritance that we are called to claim as our home. Even though I do not know, I will accept like Abraham that I will go to this place and I will leave everything I have behind me to go where he wants me to be, because I know that's where I'm supposed to be. Have you ever had a yearning in your heart for the presence of God? It's pulling you from where you are to where God wants you to be. Let go of the shackles of the world and the ways of the world and the sins of the world and the temptations of the world and claim the truth that's been set before you. Our God is a living God. He's a loving God and he's a giving God. See, Abraham, he knew this and he said, I'm going to leave this place, my home, and I'm going to go where he goes and he tells me to go. And by faith, he made his home, it says, in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. Have you ever felt like a stranger? Now, when I stayed at Madison, New Jersey, and I was earning that degree, we went to a local restaurant one morning, me and the guys there in the program. And we were having our breakfast, and I asked the waitress, I said, I'll take an order of grits. And she said, I don't know what grits are. And I said, well, grits are grits, and I'll take some grits. She said, we don't got no grits. I said, you don't have grits? She said, no, I don't even know what a grit is. And I said, you don't know what a grit is? And she said, no. And I said, you apparently are not from where I am. And I said, well, you need to have some grits. And I told her it could be different kinds of meal, and you would make it. Some people make it with water. Some people add a little milk. And I said, you can have flavor. It can be thin. It can be thick. I prefer the thicker type grit. And she said, that sounds like porridge to me. And I said, I don't eat porridge. She said, I don't want no porridge. Because apparently they got a brand thing up there. I don't know what it is. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. And I said, I don't want it. She said, I'll bring you some. You can look at it. I looked at it and I said, I can't eat that. I said, my horse wouldn't even eat that. And I don't even have a horse. But that's not the point. It weren't a grit. See, there's different things for different people where we are and where we're from. Now, in my heaven, there's going to be grits. Okay. Now, your heaven, you may not have grits. But my heaven, I'll have grits. Now, that's not two different heavens. It's the same heaven. Our God, all things are possible. Why are we so limited by what we see? What do you see on the table? What do you see? Do you see grits? I see grits. I see chicken. Oh, I see butter beans. I'm still hitting those butter beans really hard. I tell you the truth, I am. Must have been a bad year for butter beans. What do you see on the table? You probably see pizza and tater tots. And hot dogs, and more pizza. Children can live on pizza every meal, I do believe. I never seen the beat of it. They love pizza. Pizza pie, I can't believe that, so much pizza. But if you want to see pizza on your table, you can see pizza on your table, but I'm seeing grits and chicken. See, in other words, I'm seeing things that others cannot see. Now, does that make me crazy? Perhaps in some places it will. But then again, what we're doing is kind of crazy. We're gathered here... We drove our cars here with computers in those cars. We've been watching the news, maybe the Olympics a little bit, checking out that young girl from West Virginia that won that gold medal. Isn't that something? I tell you, young men, that's a girl you want to go out with right there, because she can handle a gun good, you know. And here we are, gathered here, believing in something that's as old as it can be. Believing in a God that we cannot even see. Think about it. It's crazy. It's crazy. Well, that's okay. That's okay, because what we believe in isn't something that's a fantasy. We believe in something that is so real because we can see it. See, faith is that Abraham made his home in a land, even though he was a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, and he did that, and his son did that, and his grandson did that, and they were heirs of the same promise, and he was looking forward to a city whose architect and builder is God. What is God building in your life that will survive this world? And you have it right around you. And the world cannot even see it. You have a relationship. You have love. You have hope. You have harmony. You have peace. You have truth. You have something worth living for. You ask those soldiers that go to those foreign battlefields and those soldiers that serve so faithfully, what do they fight for? They do not fight for some ideal or some cause. Yes, that may enlist them. Yes, that may excite them. Yes, that may make their hearts swell up. But what makes their soul fill up is that family that's waiting on them. That person beside them in the trench or beside them in the helicopter. What they fight for is what they believe in. And that is this emotion of God. Now let's flip it now, because now we're going to show how we respond to this. Motion, emotion, eternal. This is how we live our lives in response to God's grace to us. It is what God has made us able to do. We can have compassion because God has had compassion on us. We can have compassion towards others. We can look towards others and not just have sympathy or empathy, but we actually can have hope for them. Have you ever been in a situation that you felt like was hopeless and were no way out of it? Sisters and brothers, I've been in places like that. I've been at times that I've been by the bedside of those who are passing. I had a member years ago who was there when a man was cutting down a tree and the tree fell on this member and he was at the hospital and I was there with his wife. And this man was passing away before our very eyes and she was crying and I was standing right next to her. Understand, I'm not a cuddly type preacher. You already know that. You've had some of the pads that'll give you a big hug, you know. I'm not in all that. Maybe a little bit, but not. But understand, even though I may not have these, maybe genetic traits or whatever, it doesn't mean I don't love you. I was there with her, and I weren't holding her in any way. I was just standing there like a good preacher would. Just standing there being a beacon of hope, watching this man who was passing before my eyes. And then later, when we had the service, and someone said, how was it? That was so hard, warning in the hospital. And she said, oh yes, it was so hard there. And I was there by myself, and I'm standing there going, yeah, I was there too, but couldn't say it, because that wouldn't be proper. And she said, but Jesus was standing with me. I felt him in the room with me. And I just smiled, and I said, good. He was Miss Adams. See, I believe, therefore others see what I do not. And at times they won't even see you, but they'll see the man from Galilee. They'll see the hope of Christ. See, Sarah knew this. She was past childbearing age, and she was enabled to bear children to the point that now they are so numerous as the stars in the sky. See, she was beyond the hope. And we're not talking about a little miracle here. We're talking about a great miracle, because the faith of these people, of Sarah and Abraham, has produced the faith that we cling to, because we believe there is a home we have that God has made for us. Now he continues and he says, all these things were still living by faith, and they were living, all these people were living by faith when they died, and they did not receive the promise because they saw them from a distance. See, God's compassion pulls us to connect to him. So when you love with the love of Christ in your life, you'll find it is no longer you separated from God. You now get to see briefly the hand of God in your own life. You get to be a participant in an eternal unfolding of truth. In other words, God connects you through this compassion. That is why Christians, if they ever grow hard of heart, they lose faith. They lose the ability to hear God and to understand God and understand that this isn't a judgment thing. The churches should not and never should be in the business of judging people. We should be in the business of calling people to redemption, saying to people, understand, our God is bigger, He's greater, He's better, and He's able to help you no matter where you are to where you need to be. It's just like a coach playing with a player. And you got a player over there, and he may say he's a running back, and he's got a bad habit of fumbling the ball. And the coach doesn't sit there and say to him, in my opinion, a good coach would sit there and say, you got the worst hands, you shouldn't play this or shouldn't play that. If the young man is playing the running back, then you say, son, we got to work on this. We got to work on you holding the ball in here. We're going to try to take it away from you, and you better hold on to it, because if you don't, you're going to run till you fall down. And so here, you take this ball, and you work on this. Don't let go of it. Come on, boys, let's try to get this football from this young man. And we all trying to pull it away from him, and he's like, I'm not going to let go of it. I want to run. And we're trying to pull it away, and the coach says, you're going to run if you can't take it from him. And so we're trying to take it, and the young boy's hanging on to it, and we're just pulling him all over the place. We're dragging him across the field, and he won't let go of it. And then afterwards, the coach blows the whistle. Coach Farrell, some of you know who I'm talking about. He said, that's enough. Now, you're not going to drop the ball anymore, are you? No, sir, I'm not dropping the ball. And I'm saying, Coach, I ain't got to run, do I? He said, run, Jerome, run. See, we got to believe in something that we're stronger because He's made us stronger. We're able to see things. See, He's created it, not from a distance, but up close. He's connected us so that we can have communion with Him. If you want to know what it's all about, you want to know what the ancients have said, what they've written, St. Jerome in the desert cave there next to Bethlehem years ago, and all the other ancient fathers and mothers of the faith from eons past, and what the future is telling us, is the whole purpose of this ride is to get us there, to get us home. This is no more than a ship of Zion, get on board, and we're sailing to the promised land. That's the whole purpose of all the heavens and all the earth and all the places in between and all the places we may go and we may think we know, we think we may outrun something, and I'm telling you, we can't outrun the God who's made it all, for He's made it for the one single purpose of coming home. This is the great homecoming. That is the true mystery of the faith. Many are saying, it can't be that simple. Why can't it be? Why can't it be? Think about it. What have you been running away from all your life? Home. What have you been running to all your life? Home. What is it you know you can't live without? Home. What is it you need? Home. Oh, I'm an island. I'm a man by myself. I don't need anybody. I'm an island of my faith, captain of my own soul. I'm Invictus. I don't need anybody else. Yeah, that goes really far in life. I've known people like that go, I don't need my God. I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need you. I don't need anybody. I just need me. You give me me. Me's all I need. Well, you're the most pitiful, wretched soul I ever seen. This is the brothers, and we think we can ever get to the point we don't need, then we're not even human anymore. We've lost sight of who we are. See, this whole purpose is heaven. That's why we're here today, to prepare us for the coming of the Lord, to prepare us to enter into the gates, to prepare us to come into His presence, to prepare us to be able to walk in His sight, to be able to look at Him, to be able to speak to Him, to be able to love Him as a father to a child, to be able to give Him the love as our Heavenly Father. See, it is longing for a better country. And that's what I'm longing for. Oh, I got to admit, I have to admit, it's a wonderful place. But I just want to visit it. I don't want to live here. When I was on the Outer Banks, I'll tell you the truth, I was glad we kind of visited and left there. Because the beach isn't really for me. There's too much sand, too much water, too many tourists. It's just too many storms, too much seafood. Some of you saying, did he actually say that? Yes, I did. They didn't have a lot of butter beans over at the beach. I tell you, they did. See, and as wonderful as Spring Hill is, and I got to admit, I'm enjoying this church as much as any and even more than the ones I've served. And the reason is you have created an environment by your faith of being families of faith that you stand together and you have persevered even though the world around you has changed. And you've not done it by closing yourself off, but by opening yourself up to all that God is doing. We have people from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west, and you all gather here at the spring, and we gather together and we drink this word of God, and we live in the faith we're called to live. And the truth is, God has blessed us beyond measure. See, I love this place, but as great as this place is, it's not my home. And even those mountains that we have a house at, and Junalusco, where we lived, and I will, by the grace of God, live again one day. And as great as it is to have bishops and DSs and church around you, and have all those beautiful hills that surround you, as great as that is not my home. For I will not be satisfied until I walk into that city. But I'm not walking in alone. I'm walking in with as many people as I can to join me on this trip, to join me on this journey. Join me and let's go see the Father. Let's go see the Father. Join me and let's go home. You've been away too long, son. It's time to come home again. Come on with me. Dad sent me. I've come to get you. And he said to me, you tell him, you better get home. You better get home because your mama's prepared a meal for you. You better get home because we got your room made for you. You better get home because we got work to do. Because when you get home, we're going to have a big celebration. We're going to have a big party. We're going to have a big spread. You're going to come home and we're going to be there and the angels are going to be singing. And we're going to be around the table and we're going to be gathered together. But guess what? First thing in the morning, we're going to get to work. You don't think God has done all this so we can lie around on a cloud playing a harp, do you? Really? Is that what you think? We're going to be working. And what are we going to be doing, you say? What have the ancients said we'll be doing? Doing what the children of the light do. Spreading love to even places we could not even imagine. Being the children of eternal purpose. Sisters and brothers, this is only the beginning. In fact, the ancients called it the womb. And we are no more than the children in the womb waiting for the great day of deliverance, the day of salvation. He's called us to this greater purpose. See, they left, and even though they had opportunity to return, which is free will, our God's given us the ability to make our own choice about our eternity. We can choose the latter. And we can choose eternal salvation, or we can choose the former, which is our eternal damnation. Which, as a preacher, I do not touch on that very often. I do not even say that very often. In fact, I try not to say that very much because it seems to be a downer for some reason to tell people they may burn in fire forever. But it is true. Jesus didn't make any qualms about it. He didn't try to justify it. He didn't try to say this or that. He said, it's the truth. You better go and face it. You better make a choice. Somebody the other day broke into our guest house over for our church. We were there. I was there with Frank. Right, Frank? And they didn't take nothing except they broke the door and the stuff like that. And it was kind of warm in there. And I said, well, I don't understand why they didn't stay, you know, and did this and did that. And Frank said, well, the reason they didn't stay is it's hot in here. I can't stand it how hot it is in this house. And the policeman standing there, the deputy of the county. And I said, well, if they think it's hot in here, it's going to be hot where they're going unless they change their ways. Isn't that right? Isn't that what I said, Frank? It's the truth. But I don't want to go there too much now because it's a downer and people, they just got to be loved and hugged and all that. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. What has got into people? Trying to make our God into, you know, just like a warm, fuzzy blanket. Our God is not a placebo. Our God is not some drug that satisfies. Our God is not some weakling of some sort. Our God is a living God, and He calls people to judgment. And the day will come when the sky will turn to blood, and the earth will start to shake, and the people will start to tremble, and they'll fall on their knees, and they'll say, "Oh, my Lord," and He will say, "I know you," or "I know you not." But I don't want to go there because if I go there, I may become somebody that y'all don't like and stuff like that. But sisters and brothers, you ever had it when your daddy called your name in the home and he called your whole name, George, Jerome, Smith? Oh my God, I got to get out of here. I run out the door. I was a fast teenager. He couldn't catch me. I know one day I run out at Kipling. I run out of the house because he was after me. I did something. I don't know what it was. It weren't too smart, but that weren't the point. And he chased me out the house. Well, I thought he did. And I went and locked myself in the car and went out there and he looked in the car at me. And I'm locked in the car thinking I'm safe. And then after about 30 minutes, it dawned on me he had the keys to the car. He was just watching to see how long I'd stay in that hot car by myself. I come back in, he said, "What do you think?" I said, "I'm not too smart. I sit out there in that hot car." He said, "Well, it's probably better you did because I had to calm down a little bit." See, if our God didn't care, He wouldn't have sent His Son to die for us. So do you think He's going to let that pass without holding people to judgment of what they've done? Do you think evil's going to get away with it? Do you think that wretched person that killed that poor priest in France by cutting his throat during communion is going to get away with what he did? We don't have to sin this and that. Our God is a God of judgment, but we better be able to protect ourselves. See, the faith is longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Our God is not ashamed to be called our God. So why are we ashamed to call Him our God? For He has prepared a city for us. Amen. We're going to do the word in table 3, Brad. We're going to switch it to make it this other one. The word in table 3 for a Holy Communion. Now you need to know that in Methodism we have open communion. That means everyone is invited to come to this table. It is offered freely. You do not have to be a member of this church to come and take communion. All you have to be is faithful enough to be able to offer yourselves in the presence of God. Word in table 3 is on page 15. I'll ask those who are helping me this morning to come forward and let us start on the bottom of page 15. So the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.